I'm Faith Lapidus. A Chinese government official on Monday called on the people of Hong Kong to oppose violence and accused some Western politicians of stirring unrest. He also reiterated Beijing's support for Hong Kong's embattled chief executive, Carrie Lam. The comments followed a tense night in Hong Kong when protesters surged onto city streets and defied riot police, who pelted them for hours with tear gas and rubber bullets. Many protesters said they were determined to continue to defy the government, which has rebuffed peaceful marches, calls for democratic elections, and demands for an independent investigation into police tactics. Large anti-government protests began nearly 2 months ago, triggered by a controversial bill that would have eased extradition proceedings from Hong Kong to China. Authorities in the western U.S. state of California say a shooter killed at least three people, including a six-year-old child, Sunday afternoon at a garlic festival. Another 15 people were injured. The attack happened in the city of Gilroy, where Police Chief Scott Smithy says the shooter was armed with a rifle.
There were reports of shooting on the north side of the garlic festival area. Officers were in that area and engaged the suspect in less than a minute. The suspect was shot and killed. We believe, based on witness statements, that there was a second individual involved in some way. We just don't know in what way.
People attending the festival were required to go through a security screening with metal detectors and bag checks. Smithy said the suspected shooter appears to have entered the festival grounds by cutting through a fence. Investigators worked through the night to figure out exactly what happened, and so far, they do not have a motive for the shooting. This is VOA News. U.S. President Donald Trump is continuing to engage in what some of his critics are characterizing as race baiting, focused on the majority African-American city of Baltimore and its congressional representative, Elijah Cummings. His powerful committee is trying to obtain communications of White House officials, including the president's family members. Baptist minister Al Sharpton, a civil rights activist known as an anti-Trump commentator on cable TV, was also targeted by Trump in early Monday tweets. The Axios political newsletter, quoting those close to Trump, says such attacks are central to the president's re-election strategy. President Trump has announced his national intelligence chief, Dan Coats, is resigning after 2 years on the job and frequent policy clashes with the White House. Trump tweeted Sunday that Coats will step down August 15th. Thanked Coats for his great service to our country, and said he will nominate Texas Republican Congressman and Trump loyalist John Ratcliffe as his replacement. AP's Sagar Meghani has details from the White House.
Ratcliffe's frequently defended the president and last week fiercely questioned former special counsel Robert Mueller while bashing his Russia report.
I agree with the chairman this morning when he said Donald Trump is not above the law. He's not. But he damn sure shouldn't be below the law, which is where Volume 2 of this report puts him.
Democrats say Ratcliffe's too political for the intelligence job, with Senate Leader Chuck Schumer saying it's clear he was picked because of blind loyalty to the president. Ratcliffe would need 51 votes in the Senate to be confirmed, but there's little room for error, with the GOP holding just a 53-seat majority. Sagar Meghani at the White House.
A leading member of the U.S. Congress is calling for the Trump administration to do more to mediate a simmering dispute between two of America's closest allies in South Asia, South Korea and Japan. Elliot Engel, a Democrat and chairman of the House Committee on Foreign Affairs, told VOA the U.S. should not take sides in the decades-old dispute.
I think it's, you know, to our benefit, United States' benefit, if we do whatever we can do to help smooth out some of the, irritants in the relations between Seoul and Tokyo. We have a stake in a healthy South Korea, in a healthy Japan, and having the two of them go at each other's throats doesn't benefit us or them.
The dispute centers on the level of Japanese compensation for forced labor and sexual slavery of South Korean women when Japan occupied the Korean Peninsula before World War II. I'm Faith Lapidus, VOA News.
VOA. Begin broadcast.